Starting your day at 2:08 now by Dr. Josef Gerber.
Yeah, 25 past, I'll let you know.
Thank you for waiting.
Start.
Thanks for waiting for me.
Right. both say I want to wish everybody a good Moed. I must tell you that it's really a pleasure to join you. Baruch Hashem, we've been able to do it for a number of years. But, you know, this particular institution of the Torah, starting the day the Torah way, is a Dovah Gadol. Because the Pasuk says, Tov Achris Dovah Mereishisai. If you want to know what the thing is going to turn out, see how it begins. It's rather like you're going on a trip in your car, right? You've got one of these direction finders. In my time, when I was driving around, it was a good fablonger. You never knew where you were going. But now the machine tells you. You're under instructions the whole way. You've got a ganze Shulchan Aruch. But if you don't set it correctly at the beginning, then you really had it. But if you set it right, then the whole journey is en route, precise. That's what it means, start the day the Torah way. If you start the day properly, you're not just starting the day, you're directing the whole day. Everything follows the Mereshis, Tov Achris Tov Mereshisai. And that's why it's so choshuv. You know, everybody knows the Rambam, famous Rambam, which Oruch Chaim begins with, Shevisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid. And what do we understand by Shevisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid? Of course, you have to be in awe of the Rabboni Shalom. You have to be aware of him. You can't live your life as if you're in a vacuum and you can draw the curtains and no one can see what you're doing. When Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they said, Ayesh Elokim b'kirbeinu im oyin. Is a Kodesh Baruch Hu among us or not? It's a very strange question. They'd seen open Nisim, Mamash, the Nisim of the Makkos and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they could still ask, Ayesh Elokim b'kirbeinu im oyin. But Chazal say their meaning was different. The Yetzer has always got his ways. He goes to the maximum, but not too much. He only says to you what is plausible. Ayesh Elokim b'kirbeinu im oyin means, does he know your secret thoughts? Enoch Anami the Rabboni Shalom controls things, but what happens if you think something deep down inside? Does the Rabboni Shalom know? Sveikus as to the absolute achdus of the Borei Olam. And then the next, Vayova Amalek. Our avodah of Shevisi Hashem and Negdi Somid is, there are no grey areas, there are no excluded areas, there are no safe areas where you can hide away. Everything is goloi v'yodua lafonov. Shevisi Hashem the Negdi Somid. But it goes more into a different area. And this is what I wanted to speak to you about a little bit this morning. It means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not just sort of the great and awesome being who created the universe and who is everything and everyone. It's got a different meaning as well. It means a Kodesh Baruch Hu is part of your life. Chazal say there's a baskol which will say Leosid Lovo, Kol Mi Shepoalim Hashem, Yovo V'Yitl Schoro. You've got to be poel, you've got to be busy with the Rabboni Shalom. He's a shutuf in your geshäft, he's with you. You know, they tell of the fellow who was desperate for a job. It was a very high-profile job, and he was offered an interview at 4 o'clock in this magnificent building where it was really a chance to really get in the upper echelons of his profession. And he's determined not to be late for his appointment. The appointment was 4 o'clock, and all the big men of the business will be there. And he drove along there, he said, I'm going to be there early. 3:30 he comes along, starts driving around, and you all know that feeling. Every single parking place is taken. Mamas, there's nowhere to park. If you park anywhere off, you'll be clamped, taken away. It wasn't Shaykh. He goes round and round and round, Efsha, Efsha. It's 3:45. He's getting desperate. He's beginning to sweat. What's going to happen? He's got a 4 o'clock appointment. But Bernie Shalom, help me. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll learn. Kol Minei Dvarim he's willing to promise. But Bernie Shalom, help me, help me. He drives around, nothing doing. 4:10, suddenly, right next to the front entrance, a car draws out. And he goes there and parks as if it was made for him from Brias Olam. He gets out. He says, phew, thank you, Rabboni Shalom, but I really didn't need you in the end. I managed myself. We don't want to have that sort of attitude. Yeah, we think we can manage ourselves. Shame vos to oiskazain if you manage yourself. My Rebbe used to say, Reb Nosson Orbman, he used to say about Shidduchim that if you do it yourself, then it's of gehakta tzoros. Yeah, if the Rabboni Shalom does it, motzo isha, motzo tov, the Rabboni Shalom finds it. But motzo ani, if you think you've done it, ma'amar movis. Don't believe it. You're not the big shot. You don't make the decisions. You don't do it. Rabboni Shalom is the doer. Kol misha po'el Hashem yovo v'yitl schori. And this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu goes very, very profoundly. Goes right into every area of our being, every area. And it's really what the whole of Pesach is about, getting close to the Rabboni Shel Olam. And I've mentioned this, I mentioned this last year. The Zman Achilas Matzah is perhaps 1 minute. And those of you who have a sort of mathematical inclination will know that for 7 days we have no mitzvah, the halacha, of eating matzah. Just for the one kazayis, 1 minute. 1 minute from 7 days is about 1 in 10,000. Therefore, for 1/10,000th of the chag, we eat matzah, and the whole chag is called chag matzahs. Why so? Chag sukkahs, we've got to live there the whole time. But the Torah says poshut. Well, maybe it's not so poshut. The Torah says that v'gam tzeder lo osu lahem, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they didn't do anything, made no preparations, didn't take with their lunch. They've made nothing. They had no way of living in the Midbar except with the Rabboni Shel Olam. And that is symbolized by the matzah, therefore that is the chag, that's chayrus, that's chag hamatzus. When we get out of the confines of gashmiyustik and machshova and enter the broad open spaces of betochen in the Rabboni Shel Olam, we eat matzah. It's chag matzahs, and this is what we're talking about. And this is what a person can achieve in Pesach, because Pesach is a zman diluk. It's a time when we jump. It's chipozon shchino. The shchino's in a hurry, and we can come from memtes shari tuma to the madrego of dveikus to a kodesh baruch hu. Mamash keheref oyin. A siyata dishmaya we have on Pesach. Let me share with you an amazing Meshech Chochmah, which shows such a lot of light what a human being can achieve. Hogah has 2 confrontations with Malachim. Hogah was sent away by Avraham Avinu, but in Parshas Lech Lecha, she decided after Sora was given a shus to be Ma'ano, so she ran away. She was Nisha Muberes, and she ran away into the Midbar, and she meets a Malach Hashem, and the Malach says, Hogar, Shivcha Sora, Ma'ayim Bos, the whole Vikurcha, whole dialogue, we can't go into it now, between Hogar and the Malach. In Vieira, she's sent away by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu sends her away. But what happens when she goes away? Again, she's desperate. And again, she has a meeting with a malach. But the malach doesn't confront her, doesn't talk to her. The malach speaks to her in Hashamayim. And the malach was megala to her where the water was. But there's no confrontation person to person with a malach. Says the Meshech Chochmah. Noyev Oyev, the Meshech Chochmah says, he says, when Hogah ran away from Beis Avrom of her own, she was still part of Beis Avrom. And the Raya is, the Malach told her to go back, that's where you belong. In Beis Avrom you can meet face to face with Malachim, and the Malach met her and spoke to her peh al peh. But when she ran away, she was still part of it. When Avraham Avinu sent her away, that was like a krisus from Beis Avrom. She had no more shaykhus directly with Malachim. The Malach had to speak min Hashamayim. And that is the difference between the two meetings of Hogar with Malachim. The first one, she was still part of the Kedusha Beis Avraham, and she could speak to the Malach. That was the norm in Beis Avraham. But once she's gone away, once she's, as it were, left behind the Kedusha Habayis, once she's been sent away, the Malach can't come to her. She's not on that level. Always bleibt ein Kasha. And I'm afraid, I'm surprised you haven't asked me yet. The Kasha from the Akedah, when the Malach spoke to Avraham min Hashamayim twice, and then afterwards Shenis min Hashamayim, Avraham Avinu, why couldn't the Malach speak directly to him? And here I want to share with you a thought, a machshova. There's a Gemara in Yuma which says that Shimon HaTzadik knew the last year of his life, because somebody used to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with him and come out. We'll talk about that in a minute. And in fact, it's more mavur in the Yerushalmi, in two places in Yuma, Perek Dalet and Perek He, in the Yerushalmi and Yuma. The Yerushalmi says that when Shimon HaTzadik used to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is Shimon HaTzadik told this, then Ish Lovesh Abadim, a man dressed in the Badim, used to come in with him and go out with him. And the last year of his life, he came in and didn't go out. He knew he wouldn't be mashlim the Shona. That's the Yerushalmi. What I'm going to say now is the Yerushalmi, because we have no rishus to say such things. Fek the Gemara Kasha, who was this person? It wasn't a human being. It says, Chol Adam lo yeh be'el. And if the Gemara, if you just want to say it was a malach, it couldn't be a malach either. Why? This is a chol adam. The rabbis, those who can be domel adam, even malachim were not allowed. Even malachim were not allowed in the heichol at that time when he went in to be get kapoah for klal yisrael with a ketores. So who then was it? It was, this is the Yerushalmi, it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, whatever that means. Of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu ain't no haguf, ain't no demus haguf, but the Gemara says it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, who went in with him and didn't go out with him. Whatever that Gemara may mean, and obviously it's got tifa soidos, but one lekuda we take out of that. The Chaladim is the Rabbi says a Malach. The Malach could not get to that Madrego of Kedusha, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a Madrego of Odom Avishon Kodem Achet, says the Maharal. And Odom Avishon Kodem Achet has no shaychus. There's no shaychus on that madrega to, as it were, talk to the Malachim. Malachim mozgin lo kos, it says, in Gan Eden. But Adam HaRishon was higher than the Malachim. He spoke directly, kavo yochol, to the Eibishter in Gan Eden. And on that madrega, the Malach couldn't come. V'chol Adam l'rabo says a Malach. And that's the Hezbollah in the Akedah. At the time of the Akedah, Avraham Avinu was on the madrega of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mizbeach Mimal Le'etzim. On that madrega, Malachim can't go there. The Kedusha is too great for a Malach. Only a human being who's Betzelem Elokim can get to that Madrego of Kedusha. And because of that, the Malach had to speak to him in Hashamayim in the Akedah. With Hogar, it was min Hashamayim because the Malach didn't go down to her level. And with Avraham Avinu, it was min Hashamayim because the Malach couldn't go up to his level. Ad kadei kach, a human being has his potential if he's poel im Hashem. Actually, there's a Dubna Magid. It says when Avraham Avinu first saw the three Malachim approaching, he says, "V'hinei shlosh anoshim nitzovim olav." They were above him. What did he do? V'yorotz likrosum. He went to do the mitzvah and he approached their madrega. And what happened afterwards? V'hu omeid aleihim. He was higher than the Malachim. It's possible for a human being to climb to a madrega above that of a Malach, if he has this daga of kedusha, of completest batlus to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if literally he's poel im Hashem. I want to give you an illustration of this, of what it means to be poel im Hashem, and the effect it can have on the human system. There was a Maisa Azoi, there was a lady in America, from Yiddish, a lady who had children growing up, And she received a letter from Bnei Brak. It was an invitation, and for a chasana, she didn't know anything about the chasana. It said, Le'imo shalakala, to the mother of the kala. The lady looked at the invitation. It just didn't make sense. Her eldest daughter was 13 or 14. She was not the Emma of a colour, not yet a potential colour eventually, but not at the moment. She wasn't looking for shaduchim for a 13-year-old girl. She didn't know what it meant. She was busy, she had to go away. She came back that evening, and she opened the invitation. And in the invitation, there was a note. There was a note written by a lady in B'nai Brak. I'm the lady you met in Davos in Switzerland, and this is my phone number, and if you phone me, I'll tell you the meaning of this invitation. She was very curious, and she took a phone, the number, and she got through to a lady in B'nai Brak, who thanked her very much for calling, and the lady said, "Do you recall what happened in Davos when we were there?" And the lady in America said, it all came back to her. This lady in America used to visit Davos, one of her siblings had a child with cystic fibrosis. I'm not going to go into the medical affairs. It's a very unpleasant illness, a very serious illness, which affects breathing. And one of her children, a girl of probably about 12 or 13, I don't know exactly, had cystic fibrosis, a niece of this lady in America. And she needed the fresh air of the Swiss mountains. And once a year, her mother used to take her to Switzerland, and each one of the siblings, she had a number of siblings, took a turn to be with her sister and to share with her looking after this girl in Switzerland. The last year, this lady in America who received the letter to the Imor Shel HaKalo, the last year it had been her turn, and she'd gone to Davos in Switzerland to be with her sister and this girl who was unwell. And they didn't go to a Jewish hotel, it was simply for reasons of cost. They went to a Goyish hotel, they got a number of rooms there, and they cooked their own food, and they looked after this girl. One morning, the lady, I'm talking all the time from the point of view of the lady in America, when she was speaking on the phone to the lady in B'nai Brak. One morning, she came down, and she saw what obviously was a Yiddish family, Mamash Hamisha looking family. They turned out to have been from B'nai Brak, who had just arrived in the hotel. They looked a little bit out of place. You could imagine a younger man, not such a younger man, an older man, a middle-aged man from B'nai Brak, a Kolonik, and his wife dressed like a B'nai Brak lady, and a family standing in this Goyish hotel. They've arrived, and immediately this lady went over and said, Shalom Aleichem, what can I do to help you? She said, no, Baruch Hashem, we don't need anything. And she noticed the whole family. The whole family were consistent mamash, a real B'nai Brak family, a pleasure to see them. Except for one girl, an older girl, she must have been 19 or 20. She was standing a little bit away, but she looked just like, she's obviously a member of the family, she looked different. And she was dressed, well, perhaps one shouldn't discuss it even, mamash belitznius, mamash like a goyish girl who wants to show off. And it was just didn't fit, but she didn't say anything. It's not her business. The lady was not willing to talk, so she left them, and she went back. She went out, whatever she wanted to do. About two or three days later, the little girl who was unwell with the cystic fibrosis had a temperature in the morning, and they'd given her antibiotics. They have certain systems from the doctors in America what to do. Anyway, Kitzur Shel Dovor, eventually the girl had felt much better, and she'd gone to sleep. And this lady decided she's going with her sister, the mother of the sick girl. They're going out for a little walk to get some fresh air. They had a difficult day with the girl. They came down, it was about 6 o'clock in the evening. They see this whole B'nai Brak family standing there with their cases. Now, you don't usually leave Swiss hotels in the evening. If you want to get any buses and things, you have to get up pretty early. But in any case, she decided she's going to go and find out if she can help them. She went over and she spoke to the mother. She said, what's going on? I mean, are you going already? You've only been here a few days. Yeah, she said, we came for a few days and we're going now. We've got a tender, some sort of a van coming to take the family at midnight to the airport, and we're going back to Eretz Yisrael. He said, you know, it's 6:30 now. She said, yeah, but, you know, we didn't want to spend enough. We didn't want to rent rooms for another night. It's expensive. So we'll hang around in the foyer of the hotel till the evening. I said, you can't do that. You need to have a rest. You need to have something to eat. We're fine. And then one of the little children, apparently they spoke English, this family, said to his mother, well, we do need something to eat. I'm very tired. That clinched it. She took the whole lot, lock, stock and barrel, to her rooms upstairs, and they looked after this family, including this wayward girl, and she prepared them a nice hot meal, and she even gave them beds, and they fell asleep, and they slept on those beds, and they woke up 11:30, and she saw them down to their tender, and she was Machai Nefesh of this whole family. That was the story which the American lady knew. And then the lady on the other end of the line in B'nai B'rak said, and I'll tell you the other half of the story, my half. My half of the story is very simple. My half of the story is, we're a frum Hamish of B'nai B'rak family. Our daughter has always been a bit out. And in school she was asking the wrong questions. She didn't want to go to SEM. We couldn't do very much with her, but, you know, Khalilas happens in families. So, you know, we decided just to grin and bear it, as they say. But eventually, she decided she's going to find her fortune. She's going to India. We couldn't stop her. She was already 18, 19. She came back from India, very elated. She's so delighted with what she saw there. And she met a wonderful young man, an Indian computer programmer, a goy. But he's such a nice young man, she said. And we became engaged. I'm going to get married to him. We almost went through the floor. To marry a goy, not an Indian goy. It didn't make sense. But what could we do? She wouldn't talk to her. She said, you know, all men are equal, and every main thing is a man should be nice, and so on. And some Jewish people are not nice, and some Indians are very nice. The guns are Bob and Miser. They got nowhere with her. And she's going ahead making plans to give up all her life, you know, Sisrael, and go to become an Indian goy, Cholila. They said to her, look, do us a favor. Give us another chance. Let's all go to Switzerland for a few days, away from B'nai B'rak, away from all the pressures, and spend a few days as a family. Maybe you'll change your mind. She didn't want to go, but they begged her. She agreed. Okay, but you don't try and influence me. You're wasting your time. They took Choyvus, this mishpocha, and they went to Davos, to this hotel, and they spent 3-4 days with this girl, and they got absolutely nowhere. Mamash, solid brick wall. Eventually, they're going to leave. The girl is as sullen and as awkward as ever. Then the lady says to B'nai B'rak, you came along, you took the whole family upstairs to your rooms, you looked after us, mamash. A mother couldn't have looked after her precious child better than the way you looked after our family. It was such a chesed, it was no over oyam. Afterwards, we all went back to Eretz Yisrael, feeling much better for that. But the real problem was, Cholila, we know our daughter's going to move out of our lives to marry this goy. A few weeks went by, and she seemed to ease up on her preparations to get married to this goy. And we didn't say anything, we didn't dare to disturb her. And eventually she began to dress a little bit more tsnua, not mamash b'nai b'rak, but, you know, something in between, so this will better. And still no word about the Indian goy. And then she said, you know, she mentioned to me once, My marriage with this Indian is on hold now. I'm not going ahead at the moment. We were relieved. I didn't dare say anything to her. A few months went by, and she met a Mizrahi-type boy, a nice boy, a firm Yiddish boy. May not be the B'nai B'rak Shita. He's not a Chazanishnik, but he's a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And they became engaged. When they became engaged, then I had the courage already to ask my daughter. She said, what made you change? All our logic, all our rationale. So one thing, she said, the way that lady in America looked after us was so amazing, I realized that every former Yid throughout the world is a member of a club, of a unique club of Achdus. And if I were to marry this non-Jewish man in India, then I'd lose membership of that club, and that's not worth it. So therefore, I couldn't go ahead with my marriage with that Indian. soon as I put it out of my mind, then the Yiddish way of life became more acceptable to me. And bit by bit I've changed, and I decided I'm going to marry a Yid, and to be more amenable to Yiddish Zachen and to be a Shomer Mitzvahs. And it all came about through this lady in America and for the chesed she did. And therefore, so this is what the lady in B'nai Brak saying, the lady in America was in tears by now. She said, you're really Imo Shel HaKala, you're the mother of the Kala. Your chesed brought her back. And therefore, I'm sending you this invitation. I haven't got money to send you a ticket, but if you can manage to come, you'll be our most honored guest. You'll be literally the Imo Shel HaKala. And it occurred to me in Pshat, what's the pshat? When a person does a veiros, then he gets a richuk min hashchino. He's not poyel im Hashem. If he's a Kodesh Baruch who says to a balgaiva, someone who thinks he knows better than the Borei Olam, he's a balgaiva, and a Kodesh Baruch says, I can't live with you. When you get richuk min hashchino, you're yored, teired ployim. But when a person does chesed, pure chesed, it states in Zohar HaKodesh that when a person does chesed, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is with them. Hinei ma tov u ma noyim sheves achim gam yachad. Gam is a riboy, the rabbo says Ashchino. Gam is a riboy. And therefore, when this lady did chesed to such a degree, the Shchino was there. And therefore, this girl, this wayward girl, although she was off the rails, she felt that Hashpoas Hashchino from the Kedusha of that moment. And soon as you're magish, the Kedushas Hashchino, the whole world looks different. Then on her own level, she was Poel Em Hashem. And the Indian Goy ceased to be an attraction. And she became, as it were, she became a Yiddish girl again. She was magish, a little bit of the Ni'imus of Kedusha. And that's what Pesach is all about, to be Poel Em Hashem, to go with the Shchino. And that's why we start counting Sfira, because Lo Nitnu HaTorah Ela LaOchle Amon, that we're counting this particular Tekufa, but you know that we only count for Kabbalas HaTorah to the Ochle Hamon. Ochle Hamon, or people who know that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I always say there are 6 Inyonim we learn from the Mon. 6 Inyonim. The Mon is your Parnosa, all that you get from Olam Hazeh is symbolized by the Mon. The Mon has many, many qualities. The first of all, it comes from Hashemayim, not through you. Secondly, if you do lots of Ishtadlis, you don't get any more. You get exactly what is good for you. The Ishtadlis doesn't help. You don't get more than you need or less. You get what you need. And number 3, it comes to your doorstep. It's not because you go kriching to Yener Ek Velt that you'll have more Parnosa. Parnosa will come to your doorstep if you know it comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's the 3rd thing. The 4th thing is there's no shortage of Parnosa. Enough mon fell every day for 1,000 years. And number 5, don't believe that you've got to look at to the old ways, I did this and I did that. Every day there was an ischadshus of mon, new mon fell. And number 6, if you follow this way of life, you'll be short of nothing. Everything you need and everything you have will be provided. Every taste you wanted is in the mon. And that's what we get on Pesach. When we say, Gam Tzeder Lo Osu Lehem, we don't want the Tzeder of our own efforts. We want to be Poel Im Hashem. If you're Poel Im Hashem, it's an Anderwelt. And let me finish with a vort of Rebellia. Rebellia, Dr. Zuri, it says about Hogar, when she was shown the water by the Malach at the second confrontation, it says, V'timale es achemas. She filled up her jug with water, and Chazal says she's Mekutani Emuno. She lacked Emuno. Imagine a woman with a 13-year-old child in the desert, and she lacks Emuno because she fills the jug. How does she know she's going to have Nisim? But it says, Rebellia, she was going in the royal coach. She could see the Ashkocha of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if you're traveling in the royal coach, says Rebellia, you don't need to take your sandwiches. When you travel in the royal coach, what I'm saying to you is, let's go together. Let's all travel in the royal coach. Let's be Boteach in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Let's be Poel Im Hashem. The Kol Misha Poel Im Hashem, Yovo V'Yitl Sorrow. Your schar will be that everything you do will be V'Ni'imus, B'Siyata D'Shemaya, and B'Simcha U'B'Tov Levo. Thank you.
surreal. I'm going to teach Muslim, my son's birthday girl next to 2 minutes. So I'm going to come and bring that track, come and go to the
Okay. Isn't it? Bocha Yo Tumin is speaking now.